Praise the Lord. It's good to be back.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate everybody that ministered and took care of things while I was out. And I always know it's in good hands. We've got some awesome people here and awesome ministers of the Word. And you're always going to get the Word. Amen. At WOW Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Hallelujah. Verse 14. We sang about it this morning already. Isaiah 7:14, the New American Standard reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Starting in verse 21, Matthew 1, 21. "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us." Hallelujah. When we hear and read these two scriptures, a lot of times during the Christmas season, these familiar scriptures, we see them on Christmas cards and maybe on the church signs and we sing them, but what do they really mean to us? God with us. You know, we sing about Jesus came, and on this Christmas day, the Savior's been born. For 4,000 years or more, people had been looking for the Savior to be born. You know, for us, it's something that's already happened. For them, it was a state of anticipation. They were longing for that. He had been promised that he was coming. Amen. Isaiah prophesied for 700 years before Jesus came. People were looking for the Messiah to be born, that Savior to be born. They were longing for it. Amen. It's not just a scripture and some nice scriptures that we read and we hear. We really need to take time to pause and to reflect on what it really means. You know, this scripture in Isaiah and over 300 other scriptures found in the Old Testament were fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. The impact of Jesus' coming changed the world. Amen? The Savior had been born. Our Savior was born. God with us. It wasn't that God was distant, that God had distanced himself and God couldn't be approached. No, Jesus came, and Jesus, God with us. He was living and he was breathing and he was right there with people to touch and to people to listen to and to people to see. Amen? The impact of these scriptures shouldn't only be felt during our celebration of Christmas, but their meaning and significance should be felt to each and every one of us throughout the year. Amen? During this time, so many people in the church, so many people outside of the church, this time when we're singing about God with us and Emmanuel, that he's come, and joy to the world and peace on earth, So many people don't have joy. So many people don't have anybody with them. They feel alone. They feel depressed. Amen? And the Christmas season even emphasizes it and magnifies it even more than normal. So instead of it being a time of joy for them, it just becomes a time that they just want to get it over with. That's not what this is for. Amen? The thing with Christmas, when you think about it, it's become a singular event. The secular world has turned it into what they want it to be. They've tried to. They try to commercialize it. I mean, my goodness, it used to be that after Thanksgiving that Christmas stuff started going up. And then it was before Thanksgiving. Then it was before, right after Easter or Halloween. Now it's Labor Day. I mean, seriously. You walked into some major stores, I won't say who they were, but they had home renovation stores, home improvement stores. They were putting up the Christmas trees on Labor Day weekend. Commercializing it. William Parks said this, "Christmas is not just a day. It's an event to be observed and speedily forgotten. It is a spirit which should permeate every part of our lives." We shouldn't be looking for that one day when we recognize that God is with us and that He's came and that a child has been born and that God cares about us on that one singular day. We should experience that every day. Hallelujah. People put all their expectations into one day that it's going to be special and it's going to be magical. And when it's not, they get even more depressed and despondent than they were before. Amen? I mean, we've talked about it. Last year, we had COVID at Christmas time. It stunk. Amen? A couple days before Christmas, I started feeling bad. Took the test. Yep, you're positive. Pastor Karen took the test. Yep, you're positive. Christmas Eve, I'm running to get medicine. We spent just a miserable Christmas. We always have Christmas at our house for our family. Everybody comes over. It's a great time of getting together and enjoying our family and worshiping God and just giving God all the glory. And we laid on the couch and suffered through it. This year, we're killing the fatted calf, man. We're having a party. We are excited about it. But you know what? It's not just that one day. It's excited about what God has done for us. Our Savior has been born and God is with us. God's with us every day. He's here today. Amen? He's here throughout this Christmas season. The main point of Christmas is that God has come to dwell with us. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to dwell in us and to be with us. Jesus came to be with us. Even though you may face obstacles and challenges, you don't have to face them alone. If you're listening to this podcast, I want to encourage you don't have to be alone. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel alone, you don't have to be alone. God is there for you. God is there for us. Hallelujah. He's here for each and every one of us. He's here for each and every person here in Bowersville, here in this part of Greene County, in Clinton County, in Fayette County. He's here for everybody around here. Glory to God. That's the message of Christmas. Yes. God is with us. God came to be with us. God came to suffer with us. He came to experience everything that we can experience. He experienced people forsaking Him. He experienced people turning their back on Him. He experienced being forsaken. He experienced being all alone. He said, even got to the point, He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He experienced it all, and He did it for each and every one of us. Glory to God. We can get excited about that God is with us. Bill Crowder said, the great challenge left to us is to cut through all the glitz and glam of the season that has grown increasingly secular and commercial and be reminded of the beauty of the One who is Christmas. Hallelujah. As we approach Christmas Day, let's set our hearts to truly experience what Christmas is all about. Experience the joy and the peace that's promised to each of us on that night over 2,000 years ago. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 7. It says that she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." Not just for some, not just for specific, but for all the people. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." The J.B. Phillips translation says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you glorious news of great joy, which is for all the people.'" Not just good news, not just great news, glorious news. I like that. Amen. Glorious news. A Savior has been born for you. That's glorious. Amen. Hallelujah. As we reflect on these scriptures and their significance to us, and what the birth of Christ meant to each of us, we all can make a decision at this Christmas time. Are we just going to get caught up in the glim and the glamour and all that stuff, and checking boxes about, we got to do this, we got this party to go to, we got this dinner to go to, we got this church service to go to, we got to get this decorations up, we got to buy these gifts? We could just keep going on and on. Or are we going to just say, you know what? All that will take care of itself. This Christmas, for the next 30 days, is it 30 days? Praise the Lord. The next 30 days, we are going to decide that we're just going to press in to the things of God. Amen. We're going to press in and find out a little bit more about this Savior, this God with us, what it means to experience more of that God being with us. What that means to each of us personally. Make this a memorable Christmas. Truly celebrate in a way that'll carry over into 2023. Not lose the excitement and just get back into our old routine once the Christmas season's over and just go back to our way of doing things. When the tree and the decorations come down, I want to encourage us to use this season to jumpstart or infuse some excitement into our relationship. Say, well, Pastor Will, I'm already excited. Well, just jumpstart it to get even more excited. Amen? Praise God. Maybe you're at the peak of your relationship with God. Well, praise God. Listen and use this to help somebody else. Amen? Praise God. We can truly experience the joy and the peace and the hope that comes with celebrating the birth of Christ by experiencing that God is with us. Pressing in. Look at James chapter 4. Everybody doing okay this morning? Hallelujah. You've recovered from your turkey coma. Hallelujah. James 4. Draw nigh to God, the King James Version reads, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The word draw nigh in the Greek is the word engizo. It means to bring near, to join one thing to another. This is the Thayer's dictionary. To draw or come near. James 4:8. Draw near to God. And it says, and He will draw nigh to you. You can make a decision that I'm going to press into the things of God. I'm going to celebrate Christmas by drawing closer to God. And the Word says, when I do that, that God will draw even closer to me. It's the same word used in both places. You draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You make the first move. Amen? He made the first move when He came 2,000 years ago, God with us and dwelling among us. The Message translation or paraphrase reads like this, starting in verse 7. It says, so let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. I like how that reads. Amen. This cuts to the chase. The nearness to God that is promised in Scripture is available to every man, woman, and child that wants to. Amen. You make the choice. I want to get closer to God. No matter how close your relationship is, it can always be better. Amen. Amen? I want mine to be better. Not satisfied with where it's at. Amen? Just being honest with you. For a couple weeks there, I was on so many drugs, I didn't do much but sleep and be in a slumber. I didn't spend much time in the Word. When you miss times, you got to get back into it. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. The greatest privilege ever afforded to the human race is to draw nigh to God. God came in the form of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came and dwelt among us. He took upon Him flesh and blood. He took the first step toward us. Made it everything available to us so that we can draw nigh to Him. Amen? Sounds pretty simple. But what steps can we take to draw nigh to God? To connect with God. To connect with Him and actually join ourselves with Him in such a way that we're filled with that peace. We're filled with that joy during this time that we're celebrating His coming and His birth. That we're just overflowing with it. And not only at this Christmas, that it's just going to carry over into next year. What can we do? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Praise the Lord. God desires us to draw close to Him. Amen. He wants us to have that relationship with Him. He wants us to have that be in first place in our life. He wants all of us. Amen. Amen? Isaiah 29, verse 13. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. People, we can give God all the lip service we want, talk about it, but we have to make a decision. Turn on over in Isaiah to chapter 57. God doesn't just want our lip service. Amen? Amen? He doesn't just want me up here saying, well, I'm not where I want to be. I want to get closer. I got to take steps to get there, right? I can't just keep going through the motions and think, well, I'm okay. Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place. But look what he also says. And also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. Hallelujah. He's not only living in a high and lofty place. He's not only living in heaven. He says, I want to dwell also with the contrite and lowly of spirit in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Praise God. God just doesn't want to live in heaven and be removed from us like some people would have you believe. That God's untouchable, that God's unknowable. No, God made the step and He said that He's coming to dwell with us. And He did that. He came amongst us. And God says, I not only live here in the high and holy places, but I dwell. The word dwell means to reside or permanently stay. Hallelujah. To have a habitation, to inhabit, to remain, to rest. God dwells with those who are of a humble spirit and of a penitent heart. The dictionary defines penitent as feeling or showing sorrow and regret for having done wrong. A person who repents seeking forgiveness from God. If you've missed it, repent. Get back with God. Confess it. The word revive means to have life, to live prosperously, to live forever, to be quickened, to be restored to life or to health, to revive from sickness, from discouragement, and from faintness. Hallelujah. God says that He not only wants to restore, that He wants to revive your spirit. He wants to revive your heart. Amen. Praise God. The first step in drawing closer to God is that we need to make a real assessment of the condition of our relationship with God. Where are we at? If things are great, glory to God. If things aren't, glory to God, you can get back on track. Amen? Repent and say, God, I've missed it. I've strayed. I haven't been doing the things I need to do. Forgive me, Lord. Revive me. And the Word says that He will. That's a promise from God. Amen? Everybody around us may think, oh, they're all that. They're spiritual. They got their act together. But we know what's going on inside. God knows what's going on inside. Amen? We have to be brutally honest and evaluate where we're at. Look at Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if things are great, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in according with the measure of faith God has given you. Sober judgment. Say, well, where am I at? Where am I at? Am I doing the things I've always done? Or have I let them slip? And if you have, repent. And God says He'll forgive you and restore you and revive you and just bring you right back. Amen? If we want to draw nigh to God, there's some things we've got to do. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Amen? And He will exalt you. He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in His presence. We're going to talk about that in the next couple weeks, about spending time in His presence. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. One of the translations for the word humble is to bring into a humble condition, but to have a modest opinion of yourself. Amen? Devoid of all haughtiness. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what? God is not in the humbling business. He leaves that up to us. Yep. First thing to take place is for us to seek God with a humble heart. God will not force you to submit. It's an act of your will. Amen. Time and again, it says that we are to humble ourselves. Amen. Proverbs 22:4. Look at that. Look at that in your Bible. Proverbs 22:4. Praise the Lord. The King James Version reads, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." The New American Standard says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches," or the reward, praise the Lord. The reward of humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. There's a reward for humbling ourselves. Amen? Riches and honor and life. That sounds pretty good to me, right? Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 25, 9. Psalm 25, 9. Psalm 25, 9, "He leads the humble in justice and he teaches the humble his way." The Amplified Version says, "He leads the humble in what is right and the humble he teaches his way." Are you teachable? Amen. We should be. Right? Yes. The Word says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Talks about us humbling ourselves. And he says, if you're humble, he's going to lead you in what's right. And he's going to teach you his way. Hallelujah. Too often people allow pride. They allow preconceived notions. They allow personal opinions to get in the way of learning God's will. "Well, I was never taught that way." Well, maybe you was taught wrong. Ouch. Amen? Or maybe you were never taught at all. Right? The Lord will teach us. The Holy Spirit will teach us. The Word will teach us. How many of you have ever been straightened out by reading the Word? Amen? You read it in there and you're like, the Holy Spirit's like, "You know what? You do that. You shouldn't be doing that, but you do that." And you're like, "Do I really?" Yes, you do that. And you make a choice whether you want to stop doing it or not, right? Some people aren't teachable. We want to be teachable. Look at Daniel chapter 10. I love this verse. I love this verse in the Word. Praise the Lord. Seen it many years ago, and I love it. Daniel 10, verse 12. Daniel 10, verse 12. Said, "Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel.'" I'm reading from the New American Standard. "For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." From the first day, you set your heart, you make a decision. "You know what, Lord? I want to humble myself before you." You set your heart on understanding and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. You ever feel like your words were never heard? You've been praying and your words aren't being heard? Well, rest assured, if you set your heart on understanding God and understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words are heard. Amen. Take encouragement from that. Amen? You make a decision. I want to understand your word, Lord. I remember the first time that my eyes were opened to things in the word. And I just was like, Lord, I want to see everything that's in here. I want to know everything that's in here. I still need to have that same passion today. Amen? And to be honest with you, I don't. I haven't. I need to say, Lord, I want to see. Because when I read that verse preparing for this, it excited me because I remember reading that years ago and it just jumped off the page to me. Amen? Can't live on yesterday's food. It gets stale. It stinks after a while, right? You got to get new food. You got to get new manna. You got to get new understanding. Want to know more of the Word. Understand more of the Word and more understand more of God in this coming year than I've never ever known in my life. That's my goal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 119, 2. I still got 5 pages of notes. I don't think we're going to get through them today. Some of you are like, praise God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, 2 says, blessed are those who comply with His testimonies and seek Him with some of their heart. That's not what your version reads. What does your version read? All. Amen. The King James Version says whole, right? Seek Him with their whole heart. Set your heart. Look at Psalm 119, 10. Psalm 119, 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments. A whole heart is an undivided heart. Just seek after God. You know what? I know all of us are busy, have jobs, have families, but we need to put Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him first and foremost. Amen? Glory to God. We just need to do it. Mark 12, 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to God. Amen. An undivided heart is a heart settled on one thing. God just doesn't want a piece of you. He wants all of you. He wants to be present in every area of your life and have preeminence in every area of your life. It takes action on our part. It's not just going to happen, but it's a lot easier than we think it is. The enemy would make it, you're sitting here this morning and I'm talking about this and you're like, man, I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. It's a whole lot easier than you think it is. It's easier than the devil will try to tell you that it is. Amen? It's easier than your flesh tells you that it is. 1 Corinthians 2. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, 2. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to dwell with us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to be a participant in our life. He wants to join up with us and be so involved with our life that it's like we're just one. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:2, the Amplified Version says, for I resolved to know nothing to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ the Messiah and Him crucified. You want to know why Paul was so successful, why Paul had the ministry that he did? It's right there. I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Him crucified. Glory to God. Whatever is occupying the majority of your time, those things have first place in your life. Amen? Take the example of a pencil. How many of you have ever sharpened a pencil? Amen? What's one thing you have to do to sharpen it? You got to press on it. You got to put a little pressure on it. Amen? You got to keep it in there. In order for that pencil to be defined, how many of you have ever stuck it in there and you pull it back out and it's like a little nub on the end of it? Or it's broken off. It breaks the lead off of it. You get them cheap pencils. Stick it in there and it breaks. Stick it in there again and it breaks. And started out of the pencil that long, by the time you get lead, it's like that. Amen? Well, you're not cheap. So you just need to stick it in there and you need to stay in there until you reach your potential and you're shaped and you're formed. Amen? Put a little pressure on it. The pencil has to have help from someone else. Right? And it's got to stay in that fixed position long enough for change to take place. Now I know that's just a bizarre, where'd you come up with that example? That's just, I don't know. But it is, right? Whether it's an electric sharpener or the one you crank, you got to hold the pencil in there and it's got to be an outside agent of change. In order for us to change, it's the same concept. We have to stay in a fixed position long enough for those changes to take place. Amen? You got to stay there long enough. You know, when I went in and had my knee replaced, I had to stay in a fixed position long enough for them to do that, right? Well, there, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but when they do your knee, they come in and they cut it. I don't know. I need to stand up anyway. Praise the Lord. But they cut it from about here down to there. And they spread it open and they move all the muscles out of the way. And they take a saw and they go in there and they hack the bone off there. And they hack the bone off there and they pull your knee out. And then they put the new one in and they drive it in with hammer. But all the time they're doing that, there's these two little holes down here at the bottom of my shin bone that hurt, and they still hurt today. Where they screw you, they put it in there and they hold your leg in a fixed position. Amen? And the robots do all the work nowadays. That I asked him, I said, how do you know how long that thing has to be you're putting in there? And he said, the robot takes care of all that now. Praise the Lord. But you got to stay in a fixed position long enough for them to do that. Last thing I remember looking at the clock, it was like 9:35. They put that thing over my face, and the next thing I remember, it was 11:20 something. I'm waking up in the recovery room. Didn't take long. They do it all the time. I wasn't in pain anymore. Praise the Lord. But you had to stay there. Right? So, over the next few weeks, this might be a different style of Christmas message. But we're going to talk about staying in a fixed position in three areas. The first one is in the Word. Those agents of change. We want to draw nigh to God. We want to have a better relationship with God. It's talking, the Word is an agent of change. The Word of God will change your life. But you got to stay in it. Amen? I'm not talking about just reading it. Maybe you do need to just read it and just consume as much as you can. Right now, what I'm doing, I'm just taking certain parts of Scripture and I'm just reflecting on it, and I'm spending time, and I'm journaling from different aspects and writing different pages of just on a few verses. That's how I'm focusing right now. You may be different. You got to find out what works for you. But we're going to talk about staying in that fixed position of getting the Word, and then staying in a fixed position of prayer, and staying in finally staying in a place of worship, entering the presence of God, and staying in the presence of God long enough for you to change. Long enough for you to hear from God. Amen? That's the things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. As we head towards Christmas, it's all about that God came to dwell with us. He came to dwell in us. Amen? And if we want to experience that as children of God, there's some things that we can all do no matter where our relationship is with Christ. And I believe everybody in here is up here. They're not down here. We're up here. But we want to get up here. Amen? Or maybe you're here. Or maybe you're here. I don't get it. We want to get up just as high as we can go. Amen? To experience the things of God. To experience the joy and the peace and the comfort and the excitement that comes from knowing Christ. Amen? Glory to God. Father God, we thank you and praise you that your Word promises us, Lord, that if we humble ourselves and we come before you with that repentant heart, Lord, that heart that is seeking after you and only you, Lord, that you will come and you will revive us. You'll revive our spirit. You'll revive our heart. You'll restore that passion to us. Lord, I thank you and praise you that as we go through this Christmas season, that every day that our walk with you will just be closer than it was the day before. That we reflect on these things and we put these things into practice. And that we just come before you humbly. And we make it a decision on our part to understand you, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in our hearts, what you're going to do in our families. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that this will be the best Christmas ever. And we just give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.